This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I may come in for just a little bit tomorrow. I have a document that I had said I would get done this week. With everything we had going this week, I did not get done this week intentionally. I knocked it to the bottom of the list because we had some other more pressing matters that needed to be attended to. So I may come in after my breakfast tomorrow morning and just work on that a little bit and get it finished up. It's been a good week. It's been a busy week. I was starting to feel it at the end of today as I was trying to get just a few more things done. We're doing some redesigns and putting together a website that's going to be optimized to be used with an iPad, and they're going to try to do some real data entry work on the iPad. There's a big convention coming up with my major client, and they're going to be trying to use iPads on the floor so that people can order, so that people can assist others in ordering things through the iPad. So there's the iPad to deal with and the website to deal with and blah, 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 blah. But it's going fine. It's going, we are pretty well on schedule to where I was hoping to be at this point. And we've got another week to plow away at it. So we'll see how it goes. Anyways, big news this week. It's Oprah's last week. I'm sure you can tell, since I've talked about things that were on the Oprah show several times, that I have watched the Oprah show. I enjoy the Oprah show. My wife has been recording it on our little media center, so it's available there when I'm fixing food in the kitchen or cleaning up or whatever. And so I've been really enjoying the episodes, kind of watching, listening. And this last week were the kind of three big final episodes. On Monday night and Tuesday night, they were at the United Center, which I guess is where the Chicago Bulls play, I guess. And her team had put together this big extravaganza for her as a way of saying thank you. And it was impressive. They did a fabulous job. And I think their whole goal was to make Oprah cry. Which is cool. That's fine. I have this thing that I do with my daughter. You know, whenever she reaches a big milestone, and we have a little ceremony of some sort to celebrate the big milestone, then that's my job. My job is to, at some point in the evening, start talking and make my daughter cry. So a good cry, not a bad cry. Just in reminiscing and in sharing how much I appreciate her and love her. And so it was very interesting to watch the whole unfolding of all this. I mean, they had all the big stars and stuff, and yada, 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 fine and dandy. You know, of course, the big stars are going to turn out for Oprah. But when she really lost it, and what I thought was really cool, was when they started talking about the acts of service and things that she and her show have done over the years. Some things, I guess they had probably been mentioned on the show at some point, but I certainly had never heard about them. There's a, I'm assuming it's an African-American college that Oprah has provided funding for scholarships for 450 men or 451 men, something like that, which is very impressive. And they had another graphic that showed that for something that Oprah or the Oprah show had done, they had touched the educational lives or made it possible the education of, I wasn't really sure what, of 46,600 and some odd children, 688, I think, children. That's very impressive. Like, wow. Really amazing. At the point when Oprah really just lost it was when they were talking about the men, and they had some video clips from the men, and I think it was Tyler Perry that was introducing that section. He said, and a few of them have come tonight to express their gratitude. And so these guys start coming out from the wings holding their candles, and And they keep coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and she's facing the stage watching them, and she's starting to cry, and then she realizes that they're coming down the aisles too. Huge, long aisles, and they're in the aisles, and the row just keeps coming and keep coming. I mean, it looked like they basically had gotten all 451 odd men there, how many ever they had, but they were all there to say thank you, and that was really impressive. And that's when she really lost it, and it was really, really a wonderful moment. And it was fun at the end because they had Aretha Franklin there, and there were several mentions of God through the show, and Aretha Franklin was there, and she sang Amazing Grace, and Usher was there, and he sang Happy Day. So, yeah, it was good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Then Wednesday night, Oprah did her big finale. She wanted to have one last show where she didn't have any guests at all, and she just talked about the things that she's learned over the last 25 years as kind of a final classroom setting. And I found it fascinating. And while it was on, a buddy of mine actually texted me while it was on here in Springfield. A buddy of mine had texted me. He said, "Hey, you watching the Oprah Winfrey show? She's saying some great stuff." And I said, "No, but I'm going to watch it tonight." So, because I figured, oh yeah, there's going to be plenty of stuff to talk about from there for the podcast. So, there is an additional topic that came up this week, just on a side tour. There is an additional topic that came up this week that there was some quantum mechanic physicist guys who are putting forth that, in fact, the multiverse has got to be the only explanation for everything. But we'll get to that later. That's its own separate discussion. So, anyway, so Oprah had this show yesterday where she talked about the things that she has learned in life. And, you know, I thought a lot of it was really good. I just thought it was tremendous. I was talking to a buddy of mine about it, and he was a little bit hesitant about some of it. In fact, he had started to sort of watch it a little bit, and there was some stuff kind of threw him off a little bit, and so he wandered on his merry way. And then I was telling him about some other stuff that she had said, and he said, "Oh, I didn't see that part," because he had left too soon. So sometimes you gotta stay with stuff. And maybe I'm just getting a little universalist or something in my old age, but I am really to the point, and I told my buddy this, that as long as somebody is just moving others incrementally towards God, I'm like all for it. I am just absolutely thrilled that Oprah is in the world and she's had the kind of impact that she's had. I'm just thrilled about it. Because in my opinion, anytime that you can get people to act with greater kindness, greater love, anytime that you can ask them to give of themselves in service, that's a good thing. It's just a good thing. Anytime one individual can help with scholarships with 450 men, especially African-American men, who many of them talked about the fact that we're going to have to leave college if this scholarship hadn't come. That's a good thing. 46,000 children, that's a good thing. And even in the United Center extravaganza that they had at one point, they had everybody reach under their chairs, and instead of having a gift, everyone had brought in a book, like a children's book. And they were going to take all those books, those thousands of books, and they were going to ship them down to some school that had lost their library. And they had already arranged for some financier, I think it was City, I can't remember, to go in and renovate the library. I mean, this is fabulous stuff. So grateful, you know, that Oprah has had her show and that she has made the dedication that she has made towards shows that serve her audience, that help her audience grow and learn. And I realize that some of the people listening to this might be saying, well, but, what about all that universalism, unitarian, blah, blah, stuff? Okay, well, that's fine. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit as we kind of go through these points and I ruminate a little bit on the points that she made. She obviously had it broken up for television, so there were different segments that she was talking about. And one of the first segments that she talked about was what she felt like was one of those, you know, important, profound things of life. And that is that everybody has a calling. And that you need to figure out what your calling is. And you need to get about the business of doing it. And she was talking about the fact that for her, her career and her calling had lined up. And that was a wonderful thing. But she said that's not going to happen with everybody. And so, yes, you need to make a living, but you need to figure out what brings you joy and what you can be passionate about, and you just need to go do that. And I absolutely agree with that. In fact, I've been thinking over the last couple of weeks about, okay, Phil, as I've kind of been scoping out when I can retire and where the money situation is and all that kind of stuff, and I've been thinking, okay, so you've tried physical product. That's hard, but it's doable. It's doable. You've learned a lot of stuff. You can get back into that. I just released my Windows 7 app and got approved for it yesterday. So, ta-da! Okay, it's up. Got to do a little tweaking on that. And I could do that. I could make Windows 7's apps and do it long enough, and I could probably make some money off of it. Or I could write. And, frankly, one of my buddies, has been pushing on me and saying, why aren't you just writing? And he may be right. And Oprah may be right. You need to quit fooling around doing the things that aren't your calling, because I've got a good consulting job. It pays the bills. And there's no question that if money was not an object, I would be writing, period. Because I love writing. I just am in the process of getting some more of my books converted to EPUB and Kindle formats, and even just looking through them and checking to make sure that the Kindle format and the EPUB format is good. I love those books. I am glad they are in the world. So, might be soon. I may have one or two little other things. It may take me a couple of months, but yeah, I think soon we're getting back to writing. We're just sticking with that. We're going to get in that boat, and I'm not turning away from this again. So anyways, this business of figuring out what your calling is and doing it, whether you can make money or not, you know, that's not the important part. One of the things she said was, we all confuse fame with service, and that you should be more concerned about serving people and using your calling and your passion to serve people than you should be about getting famous. And that's good. And she said, you know, your platform may only be 5 people. It may only be 10 people or 20 people, but do what you're passionate about. And that all really, really is very good. There's a small caveat to that, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I thought that was good, and I thought it spoke to me as well. And it may speak to you. Another topic that she was talking about was the fact that you have to come to your place in your life where you finally understand and acknowledge and live like you're responsible for your life. And I add, and live like you're responsible for your life, because a lot of people will say, oh yeah, it's my life, you know, but then they won't actually take the actions that they need to take to get to where they would want to be. They just keep saying, yeah, I'm responsible, but then they just sort of let other people just drag them along in life. And that's really true. That's something that I've been talking about for months and months and months, about it's free will. One of the most amazing things about this life is free will. You get to choose. It's your life. Don't blame anyone else for your life. Don't say, well, if my parents would have just, or if my husband would just, or if this would happen, if that would, forget all that stuff. Recognize it's your life. you choose. And the way you live your life, how you live your life by your choices affects not only you, but it affects everyone around you. My buddy who had turned on the show happened to come in about this point. And Oprah started talking about energy and how that we all give off energy. And it was a little new agey for him, but I understood what she was saying. That there is something that happens in the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm. You know, some people can come into a room and just light up a room, and other people come into the room and they just suck all the energy out of the room. And she did tell an interesting story about a lady that she was one of her guests who was in a coma and had had a massive stroke in the left side of her brain. So her communication skills were not good, but she could feel people when they came into the room. She could feel their energy, which is really interesting. There's stuff going on that we don't know about. Suffice it to say, I boiled all that down to just this idea of you are responsible for your emotional state, and you are responsible for what type of emotions you spew all over your environment. Take responsibility for them. I think that's a really, really important lesson to learn. One of the other things that she talked about, and this is where my ears started perking up, is she really got into her relationship with God. And I found this fascinating for reasons that you will hopefully recognize if you've been listening for any time at all. One of the things she said is people ask me all the time, how in the world were you able to accomplish this? To put out quality shows year after year after year for 25 years. And she said, I have a standard answer. She said, I have the best team in television. She said, they are all aligned with vision, a vision of service to the viewers. And the big secret to my show is my team and Jesus. And I went, hey, there you go. She says, nothing but the hand of God has made this show possible. And she said, people ask me, which God are you talking about? And she said, I'm talking about the same God that you're talking about. The Alpha and the Omega, the one and only God. And then she branched into the fact that she said, I have never been alone and you haven't either. And I thought, hey, that's right. She said, I've felt the presence of God my whole life. And one of the things that she has always striven to do is be still and know. Be still and know that he's God. And she actually used the word whispers. She talked about the fact that God speaks to us all in whispers. And it's up to you to decide what you're going to do with it. She said the voice of God in her always starts out as a small whisper. And I think, oh, that's interesting. She said, and then if I don't do what it says, it keeps getting more insistent and more insistent. And she said, the only time I've made mistakes in life is when I ignored those whispers or didn't get quiet enough to hear them. She talked about the fact that whenever she was facing a big decision, that she would get away and get quiet. And I was like, yeah, there you go. That's good. I like that a lot. She talked about the grace of God in her life and how that God has been with her and been helping her. So it was good. I enjoyed it a lot. I was just trying to look and see if, you know, they asked, she said, some people ask me, do I have any regrets? And she said, you know, there are a few things that I wish I could have put a hotter spotlight on to get recognized. But she was really encouraging everyone to be a safe harbor for others, to be the type of person that you can say to others, I see you, I hear you, what you're saying to me matters. Because in her experience, the thing that people crave is validation. She said, I've interviewed, she said, we've had 30,000 people on this show, which is amazing. It's amazing. And she said, in speaking to all of them, she said, people are all looking for validation. And she was encouraging her viewers to be that person who's willing to sit and listen to someone else and understand what they're going through is really important to them and connect with them so they feel like they're not alone. All of that great stuff. Now, if I would come along with my little commentary, since I've never been afeared to wade in and give my little viewpoint on pretty much any topic, if I would wade in with my little commentary and say, yes, that's all good, and also, I would add these little things. It is absolutely true, I'm getting my mail, that all of us are seeking validation, which is really an interesting thing when you think about it. Because if God is out there and he's talking to us all the time, and we can experience his presence on a day-to-day basis as a partnership. I was talking to a buddy this week, and he said, I wish that I felt closer to God. I wish that my communication with God was clearer. And I was really encouraging him to start small. I said, anytime you have anything that you need to talk to somebody about, talk to him about it. And then listen as you're talking. I said, I, through my life, have had this really wonderful, positive pressure in my heart that whenever I said anything, I'm backing into my garage. Whenever I said anything, whenever I did anything, I could feel this little pressure inside me that was nudging me in the right direction. And that's really a wonderful thing. I was, you know, telling him about, and I did a Good Morning Clara about it today, this last week. I was telling him about riding along in a bus. Well, I don't know if I told him about this, but here's an example of it. I was riding along in a bus. I'm 9, 10 years old. My buddy is getting ready to go back to the States. I'm in the Philippines. I'm all tore up. He's tore up. Everybody's tore up. It's like, oh, I'm going to miss my friend. He's going to be gone for a year. And I'm grousing. I'm grousing to God about that. I don't understand why my life has to be this way. I'm all tore up every time my friends leave. And I felt this whisper internally. And the whisper said, that's because you're planting roots, not seeds. I went, oh. And I got it immediately. 9, 10 years old, somewhere there. I got it immediately. If how I look at others is simply as someone I can put my roots into so that I can draw for them, then when they leave, my roots are going to be exposed. They're going to be all torn up. And if instead of that, I look as someone that I can serve, someone that I can give something precious of mine to, if I can plant seeds in their heart, then when they're gone, they take a piece of me with them. But that piece of me is supposed to leave me, and it's supposed to grow into something wonderful. And then when I see them a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, that thing that I planted in them, I will see it growing in them and go, hey, look at that. So, I don't know where I got off detour. Anyways, but yes, there has been this positive pressure in my life. And Oprah was talking about that as well, that there is this wonderful presence in her life. Okay, well, so does that mean I'm just special or Oprah's just special? No. And if there's that positive pressure in our lives, why do we have trouble with validation? And honestly, while the flesh tries to drum that up for me, that positive pressure really helps me with that validation. So why isn't everybody? And the only conclusion I've come to is because of the decisions that people make, the noise level in their life is high enough that they can't hear that constant validation they should be getting from God, that should embolden them, that should make them brave and courageous. So when Oprah says she's interviewed 30,000 people and all of them are looking for validation, I understand exactly what she's saying. What she's saying is their flesh has overtaken them. and has caused noise. And what I would say to those people is, yes, I'm willing to sit down and talk with you and tell you that I see you and I hear you and what you're saying is important to me. But beyond that, you've got to recognize that there is a battle that you're facing inside, and you need to do everything you can do to quiet that voice of the flesh that is the one that is telling you that you're not worthy. Because that idea that you're not worthy doesn't come from your true self. It comes from this diseased enemy that we carry around within us that is trying to keep us down and discourage us. And even when we decide to embrace our passion and go out and do the things that bring us joy, I think we additionally need to recognize that we still carry that diseased enemy within us. Because as Oprah was wrapping up the show, she was talking about passion again, and she was going down the list of all the passionate people and how inspiring they are in their lives. And every single one that she mentioned was someone who was full of passion, who was dedicated to their work, and they need to be commended for the fact that they have dedicated themselves and found something that they're passionate about. That's absolutely true. It's true. Additionally, I would say that we have to recognize that we carry with us this enemy. And if it can't keep us from creating an environment of success for ourselves, what it's going to do is try to keep us from creating an environment of success for others. Because that's sort of the two-pronged thing I think we need to focus on life. How do I create an environment of success for myself? And how do I create an environment of success for those around me? And I think it's wonderful to find your passion in life and pursue that. But I think it's also important to say, okay, this is my passion in life. I'm pursuing this. How does this really serve those around me? What effect does this have on those around me? Does it create an environment of success? And does my passion create an environment that I would be able to live in successfully? Let me give you an example. 50 Cent, however you say his name. What's interesting is when I have read bios on him, they say when they come to interview him, what they meet is not what they're expecting. Because to listen to at least his early rap music, they're very angry and violent lyrics. And so they expect to find someone who's angry and violent. Instead, what they find is a disciplined businessman. Why? Because to get to his level of success, he had to be disciplined. He had to be focused. He had to work when it wasn't fun and be passionate about all the little details. But if you listen to what he is producing and the environment that he's creating around him, at least from his public persona, what you find is an environment that, in the early days at least, was filled with violence. And I'm going to say misogyny. I don't know for sure, 50 Cent. I would have to research. But this is the dichotomy, and this is the tension of creating a persona because it attracts the flesh in other people, when in fact you can't live in that, because if you did, you couldn't continue to create the persona. And one of the people that Oprah mentioned was Lady Gaga. I've said it before, Lady Gaga makes me laugh. I think I think she is so entertaining. But she calls her fans her little monsters. And the persona that she is creating and the environment that she is creating is one of excess and licentiousness and sexual adventurousness and all the things that she's presenting in this persona of this sex-filled environment, she herself could not live in that environment and still be able to produce creatively. There was an article that came out that she was admitting that she was lonely. Now, maybe she's not anymore. Maybe she's got this problem solved. But at that time, she was admitting that she was lonely because she felt like if she engaged with people and was intimate with people, that she couldn't trust people and that they would steal her creative energies and all this kind of stuff of this persona that she's created. And now she can't live in it because if she does, it will reduce her ability to create the environment. There's a dissonance there. So the upshot of all that is, hopefully I haven't over-illustrated it, that you're saying, come on, Phil, get to the point. That is the point. The upshot is to recognize, first of all, if you aren't embracing your passion, if you aren't going out and finding that thing that you love and doing it to the best of your ability, recognize that it is your flesh that's holding you back, and it is your decision as to whether or not you're going to do that or not. Remember that our definition of an epic is your epic is that thing that only you can do. Your epic is that thing that no one can stop you from doing. Your epic is that thing that if you do not do, there will be a gap in the world. So that's the first step to get beyond why am I not doing what I'm passionate about? But then also to realize that even if I'm doing something that I'm passionate about, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm doing it the best way that I can, because the best way that I can is to do it in such a way that there is no dissonance in what I'm doing. I need to create an environment in my passion that does not harm those who come into that environment, and then, in fact, encourages them, validates them, helps them. And if you can do both of those things, good. And honestly, a lot of what Oprah has done that. Her passion has led people to take more responsibility for their life, to be more aware of the supernatural, to try to communicate with God. All of those things are good things. And there will be some nitpickers who will come along and say, well, she didn't say this right, and she didn't say that right, and she didn't say. But frankly, I think she did a spectacular job because I cannot imagine being under the scrutiny of how many billions of people she's been under the scrutiny of for all these years. And so I say to her, who will probably never hear this, but that's okay anyways, congratulations. You did a fabulous job. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.